This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. From Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist, here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, hello, buddy. We made it through another week. How about that?
Yeah, I thought I was going to turn into a ice cube this morning, but here
Boy,
I am.
It was colder than you know what, wasn't it?
I think it was. And as I told you earlier, it was 19 degrees at my house. So, what was that?
Oh, just a button.
Oh, button. Oh, man. But the weather guessers, of course, you know, whoever they might be, are forecasting, what, snow, rain, and temperatures in the teens for the next few days and all that. And I'm thinking, okay, I thought we were in a global warming thing, but apparently we're not yet.
Not this week.
This is anti-global warming week. So we'll see how accurate these predictions are. And, you know, this is not the usual weather pattern for the end of February. Usually in the latter part of February, it's like a week of 65 and pleasant and all that, you know, because we used to have our
come in like a lion, go out
like a bear or something, I don't know. but 19 this, when I got out on the porch, when and I have this thermometer, big old round thermometer on a covered porch, I looked at it and it said 19, and I went, yeah, it's cold.
It's really cold.
I don't like that at all. So
nope.
Yeah, but that brings me to one of my talking points here. I'm seeing lots of flowers and plants being displayed at the box stores. They're out there, like in Bi-Mart, they're out in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, don't they know that it's going to be cold? Because they leave them out there. I mean, I'm thinking, geez, Louise. And
not good thinking.
No, I don't think so. And this predicted super cold front will be a real test of their survival.
Yes.
And
the ones that are left, buy them.
Yeah, buy them quick before they die. These are, you know, small pony packs of flowers. And just think about it. They just came from a heated greenhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And they got put on a truck somewhere and shipped to the Bi-Marts or the Freddy's or whatever box store is out there buying these things. Then they put them all out there, and then it's, you know, 20, 19,
yeah.
20,
yep.
21 degrees. And I'm thinking, that's bad timing. You know, we have a lot of flowers, but they're in our greenhouse.
Yeah.
And they're looking beautiful, and they're in bloom, and they're gorgeous. And they're not going to come out of that greenhouse until the weather actually changes, and we don't have any of this near zero weather.
Sub-freezing,
you know, Alaskan polar weather and things
Siberia.
Like that. Yeah, Siberia, that's right. But, you know, like I say, these are in plastic. The flowers you see, they're in little plastic pots. There's no protection.
No.
And those roots are just right on the edge of that.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in a greenhouse probably, they probably kept it around 40 at night and probably 60 in the day, you know, to keep them growing and alive, because that's about what we do. And, you know, and you just can't take them from there, stick them out in this kind of weather and expect them to do really well. So, you know, it's if you do buy any, if you get, you know, pulled in and you say, oh, look at those beautiful flowers. Oh, gee whiz. And take them home, then protect them. Put them in a garage or a closet or something. Close them up for a while. Put them on a front back porch that's screened in at least, and wait a week or two and make sure that the weather is actually changing before you begin to acclimate them to the outdoors. they'll do so much better.
Yeah,
so
not just better. A day or two.
not just a day or two. Oh, and by the way, I forgot my intro. We take calls on this radio show.
Oh, yes, we do.
And I forgot to say that. So
okay.
If you have a call, 673-4464, a question, and you want to know the answer, well, I can do it for you. And this show basically is I'm throwing out ideas and advice and that kind of thing. Stuff that's going to make you successful with your gardening. That's my bottom line. And if you don't catch the radio show, or if you want to hear more at another time, we have a podcast, and it's 541radio.com. Simple.
There you go.
Yeah. So go ahead and call. Go ahead and do the podcast. Whatever you think you want to do, just do it.
Yeah, we keep it simple around here.
We hope so. But like I said, all our small plants, like, they're still safe in our greenhouse and just awaiting the less severe weather. And then when we put them out in our pavilion, which has a roof, no sides, but a roof. Mm-hmm. And even a roof will keep the coldest of the coldest off of the plant materials. And so that's what you have to do. And otherwise, they start to, they look okay for a few days, and all of a sudden they start to, the leaves will start to look a little funny.
Yeah.
And another week goes by, and the little leaves are dropping off, and the plants are wilted down.
Not good.
No. And you go, oh, man, what's wrong with these things? Well, they got frozen, for crying out loud. That's what's wrong with these.
What do you expect
things
me to look like?
Yeah, 19 degrees out here. What do you expect, jerk? Yeah. But you know what? It brings me to the point of premature gardening. Yes. Premature gardening is a disease that many people ignore.
Sounds nasty.
Yeah, it is. And their efforts, when they try to do this, are doomed to fail. So don't jump the gun. It's okay. There'll be plenty of flowers later. There'll be plenty of flowers through March, April, even in May and June. You can still plant them. And they will look beautiful, and they're going to live, and they're going to be great. So all these little pony packs that are so inviting, mm-hmm, begging to be taken to your home. Remember, the ground is too cold, and the tiny root system cannot grow and become established in that cold. So don't waste your time or your money. Wait a few more weeks before you make your purchases, at least. Or, and you know, maybe this cold snap will quit here, mm-hmm, and Sunday or Monday, and we'll get kind of back into normal, because this is not normal.
19
degrees is not normal, or 21. Some people say, yeah, it was 21 at my house. Another person said, I got down to 23. Well, it's still freezing.
No, it's still colder than. Well,
yeah, 32 is the mark. See, that below that, it's freezing.
That's why there's a 32.
Yeah, so everybody can remember that number. So
50% rain by Sunday night.
Really?
Yeah, and then rain likely through Wednesday.
Well, I heard some forecasts say something about snow, too.
Oh, a slight chance of snow Saturday morning, but that's only 30%.
Oh, okay. All right.
Little or no snow accumulation expected.
Okay, well, the Callahan still has their snow on, and Mount Dobson out here at Dobson Butte has totally looks like a big, giant white ice cream cone out there.
Mm.
It's beautiful.
That's good, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's, we'll see. It's better than not. But larger, now when you're looking at plants, of course, mm-hmm, larger, well-established plants with mature root systems, you know, they can be planted now and will survive as they've been outside all year. So they're tough to the coldness. When it gets cold, it doesn't go from 40 to 20 in 4 hours or anything like that. It's a gradual cooling down, and then the root systems and the plant itself begins to, well, they're already kind of shut down anyway. They're in a pre-spring, if you will,
mm-hmm,
and they're thinking about gearing up and growing, but they're going, yeah, I don't know. It's gonna, hey Bob, what do you think? I don't know.
Let's take another day off.
Yeah, another day off. I heard that radio show said it was gonna be 20. You know. But the larger plants, they're more mature, they're tougher, they've been out, like our stuff's been out in the yard all year, our larger shrubs, trees, things like that. So they're used to it. And so if you buy them at this point and plant them, they're going to be okay. It's just the little tender stuff that you got to watch out. Mm-hmm. So and this time of year is sometimes very frustrating because the weather can swing from a 60-degree day to either rain or snow or freezing temperatures, you know,
or
overnight.
Both.
Or all of it all at once,
yep,
you know, that
yep,
kind
yep.
of thing. So if you're trying to do yard work, it is hard to be enthusiastic, and there are limits to what can be done. And the enthusiasm part is difficult. That's my biggest hurdle right there. How do I get enthusiastic about what I'm supposed to do here? But some of the things you can do are you can clean up last year's mess, last year's garden. You can do those pruning jobs on your small trees or your shrubs or something like that. And adding new mulch is good. Those are just a few jobs that you can go ahead and tackle now. And they can and they should be done. And that way you don't have to worry about it in April or May or thing. You've already done that stuff. That's the non-critical work. It's like the insurance work. More mulch you put around your plants, the better they're protected, because that freezing, when the ground freezes, it penetrates, you know, X amount, an inch or maybe 2 inches, depending on the temperature. But if you got 4 inches of mulch there, you're pretty much safe, because it doesn't hit the root systems of your plants. And that's what you got to think about. And also, you can, again, make a plan for your garden and stay warm. You don't have to. You can look outdoors and say, what do I want to do with that backyard, huh? Or should I plant a tree? But there's a lot of planning that can be done this time of year. It's good to have a plan, that's for sure. And read some good garden books. Get some new ideas for plants and how to apply them in your landscape. Will they work? Take a day to look at nurseries. Go around, see what they got, see what they're bringing in, see what's happening, and see what's available. But keep in mind, there are more plants available as the spring weather arrives. So, like, every week we're getting new stuff in, but it's the hardy stuff. It's the stuff that will survive. And if we do get, we did get some flowers, I can't remember, last week, I think. But we put them straight into the greenhouse. You know, we didn't leave them outside.
No.
And we want them to be good looking when, March, April roll in. And we don't want them to be shriveled. And
you don't really want to keep them.
No. No, you don't. But... a good landscape plan is truly never-ending process. You know, I mean, it continues to go on year after year, even from early spring to midsummer to fall. It's just a continuum of, if you're serious about your yard and you want a pretty yard, this is what you do. And you just don't wait till the last minute, but sit down and say, hey, how do I do this or how do I do that? And what's available and how will that enhance my landscape? Or do I need to take some things out that are kind of ugly and they've been broken by snow or, you know, whatever the case is. Go ahead and take them out and make some room for the new things that are becoming out shortly. And, some plants just need to be removed so that you can add some new color. Maybe you're tired of red and you want some yellow. Okay, now's a good time to do it. You know, I've been in my home since 1977, November 1970, or October 1977. And every year since then, we have added some new plant materials to our yard. But we got, a fairly good size yard.
Yeah.
But my
you
wife
got a great, quite a good collection then.
Yes, but my wife is the. Yeah. I wish she'd slow down. Just because we own a nursery, she doesn't have to bring it home and plant it.
She's in the mood.
Oh yeah. Oh, I'm gonna do this, and I said, yeah, you're gonna do all that, and then we got to take care of the dumb things. Then the deer will come along and eat half of them. Other than that, that's good. But, I see a lot of these new plants that are advertised as deer-proof and drought-resistant and indestructible. Then I have to go get one and test it just to see if all the hype is actually true and will it survive in my yard and will it do well. Then I feel if it'll survive in my yard, it'll survive anywhere, and I can really recommend it to a client. We got a break.
All righty, our first break of the hour on News Radio 1240 KQEN and 93.9 FM, Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Gotta keep them informed. So,
yeah.
We were talking about your house and how your wife likes to plant something new every year.
Well, yeah, and then I gotta make sure it's deer proof and rodent proof, yeah. Skunk proof, and everything else. You know,
how many has she been able to save?
All of them.
Oh, cool. So, gee whiz.
What happened there? Are we still on?
Oh, yeah, we're still on.
Oh, okay. Well, you keep pushing that button back and forth, and I wasn't sure.
I was turning the music up and down.
Oh.
For effect.
There's a lot of buttons on this thing, I'll tell you. I'm glad I don't do that. But as I was saying in the last segment, you know, I test these things, these new plants out. I bring them home and see if they'll work, and how did they grow and how fast did they grow. I mean, I don't have the perfect conditions. I've got good conditions, but not perfect. But when I see after a year or so how a certain plant responds and how it grows, mm-hmm. then, you know, I feel free to recommend it to my clients when they're saying, well, I want something that blooms from this time to this time, and I want it to do this and this and be deer-proof. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Good. I can do everything but deer-proof. You know, deer-proof and me. And
what was that plant we were talking about last week that you had planted on by outside there by your house? It was supposed to be deer proof.
Oh, Daphne Adora.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And it was for a lot of years until some stupid deer came by one August day and said, hey, look at this. How did I miss this dude?
Yeah.
And he took maybe a third of it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Didn't destroy it. I mean, I just pruned it up and made it look good. And now it's huge.
He never came back, though.
No, I think he died.
It said you said they were poisonous.
Right, they were poisonous. And I didn't see him laying in the field or anything. So he probably went away and died.
Died.
He's probably up on the hill somewhere. I just haven't stumbled over him. So.
Skeleton.
Yeah. But anyway, on these plants that are advertised as the newest and latest and greatest and toughest thing. You know, if it doesn't live up to that promotion, then I can ignore it, and I'm not going to mess with it, and I'm sure not going to have it in my nursery so that people can buy it and take it home and have it die for one reason or another.
Yeah.
So I've been testing trees and shrubs for like 48 years. You know, I monitor the growth. You know, is it fast or is it slow? Is it in between? You know, can it really survive in hot, full sun? You mm-hmm. know, because so many people, that's what their yard is no shade, a brand new house, say, no shade, or a shade tree that is just not mature enough to mm-hmm. give it shade.
In a dust bowl.
Yeah, exactly. I just came from one of those places here before I got here. You look at a plant and they'll say, well, it likes full shade. Well, I'll put it in shade, see how it works, and see if it's truly a shade plant.
Yeah.
Does it perform the way the book or the literature says it's supposed to perform? What are the watering requirements? I know there are some plants that really love water. Very few, actually, here in mm-hmm. Oregon. But give it the test. You know, shoot it until the leaves start to crinkle and
till it die, baby.
Die. Okay.
No.
But I killed. I told this story. I bought a brand new orchid home from my wife years ago. And it was looking good and full bloom and all this. And I heard that somebody told me they don't like a lot of water. So I didn't water it.
Yeah.
And one day it just turned brown and all the leaves dropped off. And jeez Louise, you know. The opposite. I was watering it too much. Yes, I'm sorry. And I thought, geez Louise. So it's just sitting there as a stick. Just a plain old green kind of stick sitting there. And it sat there for like 3-4 months. Nothing.
Wow.
I never threw it away. I was just looking at it. It was in a window box kind of thing. Yeah. Then one day I'm sitting at the table and I looked at it and there's a new leaf.
Oh.
And then within a week, there was two or three more new leaves. And nice. I thought, ah, I overwatered that stupid thing. I tell everybody not to overwater, and then here I am overwatering.
Watering it.
So now we got it down to where we know what we're doing. So we're not afraid to have orchids at home anymore.
Speaking of not orchid, but that vine that I have outside.
Oh, yeah, your super vine.
Yeah. Well, it was having quite a few sprouts coming up the other day, and I went out this morning to come to work. Somebody had dug them up again.
So they're like an animal?
No, I think it's one of the neighbors.
Dug it up and stole it?
Yeah, it's just not there. And now it'll probably come up again in another week or two.
Jeez. You ought to have one of them video cameras out there.
Well, they can have that thing all they want.
Yeah, but if it's so good, man, I might want to take cuttings off it and sell it at the nursery.
There you go. Yeah. I'll write a sign, hands off.
Hands off. This, not for sale. Oh, gosh. But in these new plants that I take home, I want to make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to do. I want to make sure that if I tell Mr. Smith that comes in and says, hey, I like that, how does that work in our area? Well, it works really well. It grows in part shade, or it grows in full sun, and it doesn't need much water, or it needs watering once a week. You know, give him the full nine yards so that when he buys that plant, mm-hmm. takes it home and follows my basic instructions, or any of my staff that tells him the same thing,
right?
He has success. I don't want him coming back and saying, I did everything you said, and that plant died within 3 days. And
you blankety blank.
Yeah. And blah, blah, blah. That doesn't happen, you know, not very often at all. Maybe once every 2 years or something.
No, so, that's plenty. So,
yeah, I mean, that's enough. That's plenty, you bet. You know, so, you know, you got to tell them, you know, what are the watering requirements? How often? How much? What time of day? You know, what's the best food or the best fertilizer, and how much? How often? Some people over fertilize. Some people never fertilize. Mm-hmm. You got to get a happy medium. You got to get that, you know, just that right amount. And you got to pay attention to the plants. If you just can't buy it and put it in the ground and forget about it.
That's dad's method. Or yeah. was.
Yeah, and some of them will respond well, but most of them need some care. Oh, gosh. And the reason I do this, again, is to be able to give my clients the right information so they can be successful with their landscape plans, and they can be happy gardeners. And when they say, when their neighbor comes over and says, hey, where'd you get that plant? Oh, I got it at Wintergreen. And they're really helpful, and they told me how to take care of it and when to water it and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, that's why people come to us. So
word of mouth is the best.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have a short list of trees. It's going to be a kind of a change of venue here. I have a short list of trees. And in case anybody wants to call 673-4464, ask a question, feel free to interrupt. It's okay.
Yeah, break the ice, so to speak.
I don't mind. But there's a little bit of a change of flow here, because I had a short list of trees growing on my property that are not native to our area.
Oh.
But in my quest for knowledge, mm-hmm. who I have over the years, planted them just to see how they'd grow.
Any mm-hmm. from China?
Could be.
Oh, really?
I'm not sure which ones, though. I forget.
Okay.
But I want to see how they grow in Southern Oregon. I want to see how they grow in Douglas County. And if they do well, again, those are the kind of things I want to sell mm-hmm. here for other people. And I've had success with most of them. You know, I have a few that, you know, they just didn't, you know, they went for a year and then just kind of faded away, that kind of thing. Now, I started, in earnest doing this about 30 years ago with some giant sequoia and redwood trees. And I thought, we'll see. They don't grow naturally in our area, and not many nurseries at that time were selling any of these things. And I thought, well, give it a shot. Because, you know, redwoods are found naturally along the coast over in Northern California into Southern Oregon.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to want to see some redwoods, you go 199 out of Grants Pass and head for Crescent City. Mm-hmm. And probably 20 miles from Crescent City, you hit the redwoods. And they're gorgeous. There's nothing like them. I mean, they're just beautiful.
I got to get down there before I die again.
What, you haven't been that way?
Just once, like 6 years old.
Oh, well, you probably have no memories.
Not many. I just remember seeing a giant.
Well, you know, as you get down there, you're on the main road. You're on the main highway. And these gigantic trees are just right next to you. And then they got little parks where you can pull off and park and walk on. They got trails and stuff and little plaques with information about how old this tree is. And, you know, blah, 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 blah. This one is 1,800 years old. Mm. And this one is 2,000 years old. And I mean,
it's interesting.
Oh, yeah, it is. And some of them are, you can't even see the top. They're so far up there. They're in the clouds, for crying out loud, you know.
There's a joke there, but I'll leave it alone.
Okay, good. Don't. This is a family show.
Yes.
But like I said, the redwoods are found naturally along the Northern California coast, and they'll creep up into southern Oregon a ways, up to about Brookings and maybe Gold Beach. That area you'll find a few. But the big packet of them is down near Crescent City area. And they're south, and they just really do well. And if you've never visited the redwoods, go to Crescent City from Grants Pass on, like I say, Highway 199, and you'll run into groves of these giant trees.
Is that where the Oregon Caves are?
In that general direction. Junction is on the way.
Okay.
You know? So you're maybe halfway there, and there's Cave Junction, small town, and then you take a left to the Oregon Caves National Monument, I guess it is. Or
I think so.
I don't think it's a national park, but it's a monument.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, there's nothing like them for size. I mean, it's you go, how in the world does a tree get that big, for crying out loud? Right here in Oregon, right here in California. And you got your hand on the trigger.
Yeah, we got a second break.
Another break? I'm just getting rolling, man.
I know it. Back with the sequoias.
Well, the redwoods. I'm not done with the redwoods yet.
All right.
Then we'll get to the sequoias. They're two different trees.
They are.
Yes, they are.
See, I've learned something already.
Well, you're going to learn more.
Okay. We'll be back on News Radio 1240, KQEN, and 93.9 with Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240, KQEN.
All righty, you got us sitting on the edge of our seats.
Okay. I was speaking about redwood trees and where you go to see those that are naturally growing.
And there's a difference between the
redwood and a sequoia.
Right.
They are not the same tree. They grow in totally different locations naturally.
They might be cousins, you said.
They don't look alike. They don't grow alike.
Okay.
And I'll get into that.
Okay. I'm waiting.
I mean, that's a common mistake some people make. So, and you made it during the break. So there.
Okay. I'm not alone then.
No. But anyway, as you're driving toward Crescent City on Highway 199, all of a sudden you're going to see these 200-foot tall trees with diameters of 20 feet. 15 feet, they're going to be huge, right beside the road, and you're in the tip of Redwood National Park right there. And there are side roads and campgrounds, and you can go on little nature trails and all that kind of stuff, and just check them out. And they're very, very beautiful. And most of the larger trees are at least 1,000 years old.
My goodness.
Yeah, 1,000.
Wow.
Yeah. And they're looking good. They don't look like they're 1,000 years old at all. And they're way over 200 feet tall. And the tallest redwood, I don't know if it's down there in that area, but the tallest one is 364 feet tall.
Good.
Think about that.
Wow.
Yeah. A football field, longer than a football field. If you put a football field up and down, the tree would be bigger than that.
That's a Super Bowl of trees.
Yes, that's that. And they can live, these guys can live for 1,800 years or more.
Mm.
Yeah. So this is not.
There's a political joke there, but I got to leave it alone.
Yeah, leave it alone. This is a garden show. So this is not your usual yard tree, unless your yard is several acres in size, which I have a yard that's several acres in size because I've planted a bunch of these things. And the first one I planted, oh gosh, maybe 30 years ago, and it was a seedling. And in 30 years, it's 120 feet tall. And the diameter, I haven't measured it, actually measured it with a diameter tape, but it's at least 4 feet in diameter.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's huge. And yeah, beautiful tree. And over the years, I've planted others all over my property, and all of them are growing well. And I've planted some in the shade. I've planted some in the sun. I've planted some in steep ground. You know, I'm just to test them.
Mm-hmm.
And not one of them has ever died. You know,
great.
And they just look good all the time. Now, giant sequoias, not to be mixed up with a redwood. They could be first cousins and all that. But I've planted several of these giant sequoia, you know, here and there around my property. Now, redwoods naturally grow in a foggy, coastal type of area.
Yeah,
You know, like I say, over there in Crescent City to Brookings and south of Crescent City, almost clear to San Francisco, for crying out loud. But you'll find pockets of them. And where the fog and the cold and the moisture and all that is prevalent, that's where you're going to find these redwoods.
Oh.
And that's how. Now, the giant sequoias, they grow in the high country, up in the Sierra Nevadas. They grow naturally. That's where Sequoia National Park is, at 5,000-foot elevation, not at the coast where the redwoods are. They're a different tree. They grow differently. They look totally different. They're a very tough tree. They grow in really hard, ugly ground. You think, how could anything grow in that rocky stuff? And there's these
redwoods
again. No, sequoias. And they're just as big. They have a larger diameter size, but they don't grow quite as tall. Again, if you have a big yard, go ahead and stick one in. But regular size yard, you wouldn't want this.
You'll be there forever.
Yeah, forever. Yeah, because they live for thousands of years as well. And,
yeah.
But I have several of them growing, you know, here and there around my place. And because I test them, I put some over here and some over there in different physical locations. You know, one's in full sun and one's in part shade. And I monitor their growth. You know, which one is doing better? Which one looks healthier? Or they do? You know, they look the same. You know, my oldest one I planted as a seedling. I think it was late 1970s, way back. It was a seedling,
about 40 some years ago.
Yeah, and it's probably, oh, it might have been 2 feet tall at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was in a pot, and I bought it, and I thought, I'll stick it out there, see what happens.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't grow, like I say, as fast as the redwood, but it's fast, but it's not as fast as redwood. But it's over 100 feet tall right now, with about a 4-foot diameter trunk at the base.
Not too shabby.
No, it isn't. And I remember when I first planted both types, I watered them a little bit the first year just to make sure they stayed alive. And that was it. I never watered them again. And they just grow gangbusters. They just grow, and they're really looking good. Nothing seems to hurt them. Deer don't mess with them. I don't know why, but the deer don't mess with them. But both of these trees, like I say, have not gotten any special care at all.
Yeah.
No way. After that first year, no fertilizer, no water, and both of them are very tough. And And if I ever clear cut, I've got a north slope with a lot of timber on it. And if I ever clear cut that north slope, I intend to plant it back in all redwoods.
Oh yeah.
And it's that north slope's probably, you know, 30 acres. You know, and it's north, and so it doesn't get a lot of sun.
Mm-hmm.
And right now it's in perpetual shade because of the Doug fir timber on it. But it's a perfect spot for redwoods. I mean, it's almost matching the climate of Crescent City, for crying out loud.
Nice.
Yeah. But and I did put a couple of test trees over on that north slope, and I put a sequoia and a redwood.
Oh, okay.
And I planted them the same day as 2-foot seedlings, about 20 feet apart. And the redwood right now, and this wasn't too long ago, maybe 10 years maybe, I'm not sure. But the redwood is about 25 feet tall. And then 20 feet away where the sequoia is, it's only about 15 to 17 feet tall.
Mm.
And both are very healthy. Both are doing very well. the redwood just grows faster, and like I say, it's shady, and they're surrounded by Douglas fir, dogwoods, vine maple, you know, typical Douglas County forest.
Yeah.
What's notable is how much faster the redwood grew in that location than the sequoia. Now, if you twisted it around and put them both in full sun, I think the redwood probably would grow faster, but not as fast because it's in the full sun, where the giant sequoia loves the full sun, thrives on the heat, and does really well. So, you know, that's just...
The difference between the two.
Yeah. So these guys do grow in Douglas County. Just give them a lot of space. And when I say a lot of space, at least an acre. That way it's not going to hopefully crash down on your house or your neighbor's house or something like that. My mistake was I planted a couple that are probably a little too close to my house. They're probably 60, maybe 70 feet away, but I had not anticipated them being 100 and something feet tall, and I don't want a snowmageddon to come along
and
knock them down, because they would crush my house. Yeah.
Well, you can cut them down and use them for firewood.
Well, you know, I've had several guys up there wanting to buy them for me because they want to make cabinets cedar chests you know, whatever. And so far I've turned them all down. And I said, no way, those are my trees, man. You know,
I was just joking about the firewood.
Oh, well, I cut a few small ones down because I had some that were a little bit too close. I wanted to thin them out. Yeah. And they were maybe 20 inches in diameter. They were younger trees. I cut them down and cut them up into firewood. They burn really good, but they burn really fast.
Oh, do they?
And they don't throw off a lot of heat, so it's not a tree I would recommend for firewood. I mean, we burn them. I don't want to waste them. I'm not going to just, you know, cut them down and let them rot. I'm gonna do something.
So it doesn't burn like Madrone, then?
No way. No, Madrone is the best of the best.
Absolutely.
You can't beat a Madrone for heat. Like I say, they're beautiful trees, and if you've got the space, put a grove in or something, or put one in, and just watch how that thing grows. You'll be impressed, and anybody that sees it will be impressed. But here's the problem. Here's one of the problems.
Yeah.
I visited a client here, probably 2 months ago. They wanted a bid on a cleanup job on their yard, and they were remodeling this older home.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is, I forget which street it was, but it's only two blocks from the YMCA. And I'm looking around
In the Hillcrest area.
Yeah, right. And I'm looking around the yard, and it's an older house, and the guy, my friend, was remodeling it. And yard was run down and need a lot of work. But then I looked behind the garage, and somebody a few years back had planted four or five redwoods on the property line between him and the other guy. Now, they're probably 100 plus feet tall right now.
Ooh,
and they got easy 5-foot diameter trunks, and they're overshadowing the garage, and there's branches everywhere. And I'm looking at them, and I'm looking at the house that he's remodeling, and I'm thinking, if any of those big branches ever break, they're going to go right through the roof. I kind of told him that, and he said, well, you know, we can't get anybody to take them out or something like that.
Yeah.
If they did have to take them out, it would be a monumental task, and it would cost you tens of thousands of dollars.
Oh, mama mia.
Yeah, because they're so large, you would have to, you'd have to have one of those lift trucks that lift you way in the top of the tree and cut a portion of it, and then
a little bit at a time.
Rope it down.
Yeah.
But the trunks, like I say, they're at the base, they're 5 feet around.
Mm.
Yeah. And they're right on the property line. There's another house, within 10 feet on the other side of the property line.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Neighborly.
Yeah, yeah. But they didn't think about that when they planted these cute little trees. So.
Oh, we got to take a cute little break.
Okay, let's have a cute little break.
News Radio 1240 KQEN, also heard on 93.9, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show.
Yep.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we are back with Mike Winters, Lawn and Garden Show, and no phone calls yet, Mike.
Yeah, well, they don't like us today. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. They're out planting redwoods.
Yeah, probably. Too close together. But this client I was just telling you about, I brought that to his attention. I said, you're going to have to do something about those trees. I mean, they're they're going to be a real hassle to you in the long run. Or I think this is going to be a rental, or maybe they're going to resell it. I'm not sure. But whoever buys it needs to do, you know, but you got to take those puppies out of here or get them trimmed. I don't know how you trim them. They're, like I say, they're over 100 feet tall.
How many of them?
I think there was five of them in a row.
My gosh.
And they were planted so close together that the trunks are almost touching each other.
Mm.
They've grown that much over the years and that fast over the years.
And if that keeps going, will they just dwarf into the...
I'd have no idea. I've never seen that. Usually in the natural, the stronger tree survives.
Five, yeah.
And the weaker tree, you know...
Succumbs.
Can't compete for the water or the nutrition or something like that. But, you know, this is a yard in town where they've got other plants, so they're getting sufficient water and fertilizer and everything else. And I'm going, woo.
Perfect paradise for
them. Yeah. And I made a mistake. I said their trunks were about 5 feet in diameter. They're actually about 6 or 7 feet in diameter.
Even larger.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you could almost carve a hole in the middle and drive a car through.
Ugh.
You know, but this is a disaster waiting to happen. And, you know, of course, some little kid or somebody years ago when they planted them, you know, that was a good thing. Oh, thank you for the trees or blah, blah, blah. And then we'll have them in our yard. And never thinking that they would get that big.
No.
They are huge, huge, huge.
Did you say there were some elders in the area?
Oh, yeah. You go down that street and I can't remember the name of the street. It's not Harvey,
Keezy?
Is it? I don't. Maybe it's Keezy. I'm not sure. But you go down that street, and there's several houses down there that have them in their front yard.
I'm gonna have to take a closer look.
Yeah, just drive that whole neighborhood. You'll be amazed at how many you see over there.
Okay.
So I think it was a school kid kind of thing that brought seedlings home, and they gave them to their neighbors and stuff. And put this tree in. This will give you some shade.
Yeah, let's share this.
Yeah. We'll give,
yeah, my daughter lives down there in that area. Yeah. I haven't really noticed it. I'm going to, though.
Well, take a left there at that stoplight at the Y and go down about three, four houses, and they're on the right-hand side.
Okay.
You can't miss them.
All right.
You can't miss those dudes. Oh, golly. But I'll get back here to the giant sequoias here to I told you about the largest redwood. Well, the largest giant sequoia is 293 feet tall and 37 feet in diameter.
Oh,
think about that. 37 feet in diameter.
Is that down there in California?
Yeah, that's in Sequoia National Park. Now, of course, there's another end of the spectrum, and that's the bonsai.
Department. The little one.
The miniature ones.
The miniature ones.
That you keep and you keep them small and rugged looking and all that. And the art of raising and training like normal sized trees into dwarfs in small pots, and they live on your deck or your patio in a pot, and you keep them that way simply by pruning and taking care of them and all that. And I've been doing the bonsai since about the late 1960s. And I wanted to grow the largest and the smallest trees in my yard. So I got redwoods, giant sequoias, and I got bonsai.
Oh,
so I got
a variety.
I got both ends of the spectrum.
Yes, you
but,
do.
But my bonsai are in my yard. They're close at hand, so I can keep an eye on them.
The others are way out there.
Yeah, yeah. And most of the... most of the bonsai are conifers. I mean, you can do them with Japanese maples and stuff like that, but most of mine are conifers. They're firs and hemlocks and spruce and that kind of thing. And I have some pine mixed in there. I got some really outrageous, gnarled up little pines that are, maybe a foot to 18 inches tall and 20 inches wide and sitting in a pot that's only 4 inches deep. And,
really?
And they're pruned, and I wired them up so the branches are kind of, they're not straight, they're kind of bent over and crooked, and, you know, they really look old. They look like they're 100 years old, and they're probably 20, maybe.
20, maybe. Just youngins.
Yeah, they're just babies. I mean, that's how that goes. But my oldest bonsai, I collected up on the slopes of, wasn't Mount Thielson, but it was close to Mount Thielson. It was about at 6,000 feet elevation. And it was a mountain hemlock. And when I counted the rings on the adjacent tree, a small tree that I cut just to see how old it was, it's 120 years old. And I've got that in a larger box. I got it in a redwood box that a friend of mine built for me. And it has like, what happened was it was sitting in its forest and some other tree came down and smashed it and split it into three different trunks way back when. And as it grew, when I found it, it was probably 3 feet tall and the diameter of the stems was about three inches maybe. Mm-hmm. And they were kind of gnarled and going off to the side, but it was the coolest tree I ever saw. So I dug it up and brought it home. And I had a permit.
We got to add that in.
Oh, are we done?
We're done.
Oh, I'll get into bonsai next week, so stay tuned.
All righty. Where are you located in Winston there, Mike?
We're a half mile south of the bridge on Highway 99 in Winston. We are not the first nursery. We are the second nursery, and all our roofs are green. You can't miss us, and we'd love to have you. So come on down and visit.
See you next week.
Okay.